ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000.
Chicago here on ESPN 1000. Lots to talk about today. Brian Hanley is right there. I'm Mark Zander. Boy, that game last night on the south side, that was quite unexpected, but gives the Cubs fans maybe some hope, Brian?
I'm still drunk off of champagne after that big win victory last night.
Right. Look. Lance Lynn made some mistakes, but the Cubs did what they had to do. They capitalized, and I'm glad for the Cubs. It did not look good on the south side for the White Sox, but you know what? They're professional baseball players, and they did what they had to do against a otherwise dominant pitcher. And we know that Lance is going to bounce back from this.
Do it. Okay. I mean, I get the Dallas Keuchel. Lance Lynn, I didn't see that coming, right?
No, and right.
So when Dallas Keuchel puts you in a six-run hole against the AAA Iowa Cubs, I get it. And now he's saying, well, yeah, you know, why would I be on the playoff roster? And that, you know, why would you? I mean, but for the money owed him, he might be DFA'd before the season.
Well, you know, Jesse and I were on yesterday. We talked about that, and we just wondered at what decisions could be made when, and if the playoffs started, you know, today or tomorrow. Dallas wouldn't be there. But we did not expect what we saw from Lance Lynn last night. However, we do have the offense on the south side to rebound from something like that, yet we didn't. Alec Mills really stymied the White Sox.
And he's shown recently that there you should have some faith and belief that he can be, you know, one of your top three pitchers moving forward. What that gets you as a Cubs fan, I'm not sure, because Kyle Hendricks is your ace, and God bless him, you know, with all the wins he's had and led the majors with victories. It's terrific, but this is all about hard-throwing pitchers these days, and the Cubs don't have that in Kyle Hendricks. But it is a bigger picture question, and Rick Hahn talked about it a little bit before yesterday's game about, you know, now the Sox are 7-8 in their last 15. This is their 16th consecutive game without a day off today. As they finish the series, the rosters expand on Wednesday. So interesting things. But he talked about wrapping up the division. And no one has a doubt that they're going to do that because they've been resting comfortably with a double-digit lead in the division forever. The bigger question, you said if the playoffs start today, basically what would your confidence be as a Sox fan in how far this team could go? And that's one of our Twitter polls today, Mark. Would you believe they would get to a World Series? Would they get to the ALCS, or would they be an early out? Because we've seen them dominant for stretches. We've seen them hit rough patches. We've seen the bullpen be as advertised. It was going to be, you know, a lights-out bullpen. We've seen it struggle. And Michael Kopech the other night joined the crowd that's had rough moments of late.
And so yes, he did.
Kimbrel.
Right. Yeah, he really did. And that's, as a White Sox fan, that's why if I were to answer this poll, I'd be like, you know what? They're not getting to the World Series, because here's my problem. The inconsistency is, you know, it's either lights out scoring 17 runs or it's zip. I mean, it's been like this all season. It's a incredible roller coaster we're riding here. And that bullpen is not lights out. And there are times where we'll bring them in with a lead. How many times has this happened? And we let teams back in the game. And so these are concerns. Now, we do need it. I would imagine the guys need a day off. It is the dog days of summer. It's been awfully hot. Yeah, you know, I know these are professional athletes, but, you know, they need a day off. And hopefully that day off will refresh them. But yesterday, Alec Mills was really, really special. And so I don't want to come off saying that the White Sox gave the Cubs anything. The White Sox gave the Cubs the opportunity to, you know, capitalize, and that's what they did.
Yeah, and the Sox still 10 games clear in the division. No one has any doubts of winning the AL Central. But this has not been about winning the division for many months, right? When Cleveland trades you one of their top players, that tells you all you need to know about
the division. They're waving the white flag.
For sure. Yeah. It's about, you know, is this team a year ahead of schedule, whatever that schedule would have been in the front office. I don't think anyone actually writes down, here's what we're, you know, here's where we are in entering the 2021 season, but they are here and they are 75 and 56 and on pace to win 93 games. But it's about, can you win a World Series? And that this year, even with all the injuries and the inconsistencies you said, where is your confidence level as a Sox fan? 312-332-3776. Interesting, because it's frustrating to see Alec Mills or not. It's to have to come back and win a 17-13 game because you were, you know, dug a hole the way you did against with Dallas Keuchel. But Lance Lynn putting in a hole, that, you know, that it, there's just enough little kind of, you know, bugaboos here for your Sox fan going, man, I don't. I mean, my buddy Northbrook Bob was on Twitter the other day, Mark, during the game before the Cubs series, where he's saying, well, you're up, what, 7-1, 7-2? He's like, you know, the tying run is going to be facing the White Sox at some point in Toronto, right? Just the way things have been going.
Yes.
And he was almost right. It was 9-7, but I don't think the tying run actually got to the plate, but your laugher of a game turned into a nail biter.
And that's the issue. Now, I would love to say that this is all part of them getting ready for the playoffs and they're going to have it all screwed together tight once the playoffs come. But we don't know that right now. And there are times where we go deep into a game where we're, as I said before, letting those letting the opposition in and making a game when we have really hammered them with the offense. So the bullpen, I think Tapera's been great. Kimbrel certainly had his issues the other night. Talking about it yesterday with Jesse. We're going to have Jesse on today. But talking to Jesse about it yesterday, you know, the 17-13 OK Corral shootout was, that's a bit different for a Craig Kimbrel. And not to make excuses, but he definitely isn't the guy, the lights out guy. Now, the other day, he did have a ninth inning save, and he looked dominant, and he looked like the Craig Kimbrel that we traded for on the south side. But, you know, these there are many different issues here that have to get straightened out for a deep run into the playoffs for the White Sox.
And Jesse has pointed out numerous times that Kimbrel's ninth inning ERA was 0.00, right, when he was traded to the White Sox. And, you know, I know that Tony La Russa said right away, no quarterback controversy here, you know, no egos here. And both guys, you know, said that they'll do whatever they want. They're team guys, and I get it. But the fact of the matter is the numbers say that Craig Kimbrel's a ninth inning guy, and you get yourself in a little bit of trouble, and he gets himself in a little bit of trouble when you don't give him the ball in the ninth inning.
Yeah, you know, yesterday having conversation about that very thing, it's like, okay, what do you do? Do you have Craig set up for a Monday save if you need him? And if you do need him, then is it Liam the next day? Is that the way you play? We have two lights out ninth inning savers possibly that we just bounce back and forth and work a Lopez deep or a Tapera, which I think Ryan Tapera has really been good for us. So these are things that they have to figure out.
But you're welcome, by the way. You're welcome for that.
Yeah, well, yeah. You know, I do appreciate your yeah, you've
givers.
Been so nice to us on the South
we're
side.
Givers, yeah. Yeah, we're givers.
Well, you know what? Look, Dylan you're going to see
it. No, yeah.
Yeah, you're going to see Nicky Madrigal next year, and there may be a time where I could, you know, tell you thank you or you're welcome, Brian. But, yeah, it's something that has to be figured out. And we'd like to think that these pitchers are like ready to go whenever they, whenever they're needed, but they, you know, the mentality of being that, that hot gun that comes in and just closes them down, that's a different thing. And there is something, as we talked to Jesse, there is something that, you know, makes these pitchers very, very special. And sometimes not putting them into a very extremely high leverage situation is may not play to their strength.
I wonder, Mark, how many Sox fans turned over to see what Justin Fields was doing during the game yesterday.
Me?
because, you know, that's the other story we're keeping our eye on, obviously. Preseason wrapped up, thankfully, but it was one play. I get it. I mean, just one play, and Justin Fields makes something out of nothing and finds the end zone. And by the way, you know, I would like to see more of Jesper Horsted myself.
Wow. No kidding, right?
He helped. He, you know, he had the wherewithal and the knowledge and the instinct to break for that end zone when he saw Justin Fields start to scramble. But as soon as he made that special play in an otherwise mundane outing, my phone started blowing up with friends saying, hey, you know, I don't care. I want to see this guy. Text, you know, I'll live with all the rookie mistakes. I'll live with the growing pains. Why would you not be starting him against the Rams? And I get, you know, Matt Nagy will try to tell you why, and my head explodes when he tries to tell you.
He'll take about 5 minutes to tell you why, and you're still not going to be sure what he just said.
Yeah, let's hear a little bit something after last night's game, right? Because he once again, it's all about Justin Fields and what we'll take to get him on the field. And the head coach earlier in the season seemed to maybe open the door just a crack that we see him in the season, but certainly not game one.
Yeah, I think that he's at a point right now where he's the level where we thought maybe he'd be at coming into this thing. You never know, right? And he's done a lot of great things. So I would say that with our situation, with where Andy's at and where he's at, that he's done everything he can to make us feel good that if we were to put him in the game or had to put him in the game, that he would do fine.
He would do fine if they had to put him in the game.
Look, that was I'm proud of Matt. That was straight to the point, and I think I understood what he said.
Yeah, but
he's ready
if
they need him. But there's still no answer there, Brian. There's still no hard answer there, except for we will see Andy. We don't know how long we'll see Andy. It was sure exciting to see what Justin did. We have missed that type of that type of insight, that type of thinking on your feet, that type of play of making something out of nothing. When's the last time we really had that from a quarterback in Chicago?
Not in my lifetime.
Okay. It's look, if we've had flashes of it, it's been brief, but this was really, really nice to see. And there's a good reason why people are excited to see what they saw last night. That gives you a glimpse into the future. But then again, we've heard the line of, okay, do we want to put Justin in when the O-line really isn't as tight as we need it to be, nowhere near? That could, expose him to possible injury. There's all kinds of different storylines going here, but we need to see him as soon as possible. How quick that will be, that's up to coach.
Well, I'm glad you asked that question. Do you put him out there with the offensive line in the state that it's in? And my response to that is, tell me how that offensive line is going to be appreciably better 4 games in, 6 games in. You got a 39-year-old Jason Peters. You got Effetti, you know, good Lord, he looked awful yesterday, right? First play, first snap.
Yeah.
You know, where's my guy? Oh, he's taking my quarterback down. For the whole argument of the, boy, let's not get Justin killed crowd, tell me how this, you went out and got a 39-year-old who was basically retired by the league. And I hope Jason Peters is all that, but he wasn't all that. He looked slow last night. So tell me, If that's the one of the determining factors that, oh boy, we couldn't put Justin Fields out there, tell me how Andy Dalton is going to fare behind this offensive line. And tell me what the Bears look like, I don't know, 5, 6 games in, if this offensive line is what it is and Andy Dalton is who he is. I mean, are they a 500 team? Or are they a 2-4 team? What does that look like, and how does that change the thinking of Matt Nagy and his staff?
Well, that's true. And Brian, think about it. If Andy's, who has a better shot at surviving a leaky O-line, a Justin Fields or an Andy Dalton? We know Justin is very mobile. And there's the other argument of, let's look at how Justin can make the O-line look better because he is so mobile and he can make plays. So I think it's actually an excuse that, you know, it doesn't really carry water to me, because I think Justin could make the O-line look better. It is what it is. We're going to have to make the most out of this season. This should be interesting to see how this shakes out. We're going to end up coming back and talking about Sox pitching. We've got Tom from Oak Lawn kind of freaking out. So we'll be bouncing between baseball and football today on ESPN 1000. It's Brian Hanley. It's Mark Zander. And we'll be right back after this.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Facebook at ESPN Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
On your home for the Chicago White Sox, ESPN 1000. We've got Game 3. Cubs and Sox on the south side. That'll get underway at 1:10, pregame at 12:30. Following us here on ESPN 1000, it's Brian Hanley. It's Mark Zander, 312-332-3776. We're talking about what happened last night on the south side. Cubs won 7-0, blanking the White Sox. Lance Lynn did not look great. Alec Mills did look great. And we're going to go to Tom in Oak Lawn. You know, he's got some concerns about the pitching on the south side. Hey, Tom, good morning.
Hey, what's up, Sander? What's up, Hanley? First of all, regarding the Bears thing, I am thoroughly convinced that Matt Nagy just wants to do the opposite of whatever the fan base wants. So we need to start clamoring for Andy Dalton to start the whole year so that he can change his mind.
He's George Costanza of coaches. Yeah, do the opposite.
Exactly. And then regarding the Sox, like I'm Irish. I live on the south side. I believe in superstitions, jinxes, and I believe in not saying that the Sox have won the division until they actually have won the division. And then the offense, I don't know, it's starting to look like Cubs 17, 18, 19 inconsistency. And then I thought with the trades it was supposed to shore up the bullpen, and then you have Hendricks blowing saves recently. You have Kimbrel having another game where he gave up like 3 runs in an inning. Kopech hasn't looked very good. I mean, Tapera has been the only reliever that I really trust coming out of the bullpen that as of recently, and they don't really use him that much. I put him in the 7th over Kopech right now. And then now the starting pitching is that we give – you have Keuchel giving up 6 runs in the first inning the other night, and then Lance Lynn last night giving up 7 runs, and he's supposed to be like the Cy Young candidate. I mean, I'm very concerned. I mean, we shouldn't be giving up, you know, shouldn't be giving up 13, 20 runs to this Cubs team that's being constructed right now. I mean, it'd be one thing if it was still like the Anthony Rizzo, Chris Bryant, Javi Baez, you know, type Cubs, but I barely know anybody on this Cubs team. Maybe Patrick Wisdom. I don't know.
Yeah,
I
mean, you can't keep a Patrick Wisdom down.
Yeah,
right?
Thanks, Tom.
Year,
yeah,
come on. Now.
Well, I'll tell you something. Patrick Wisdom's really stepped up. I mean, he's got to be part of the future in on the north side for at least a year or two. Right.
Yeah, he's 30. He just turned 30 the other day.
Right.
Bless him. I mean, I'm that season he's had, the few months he's had. I mean,
it's a bright spot in otherwise a very dark room. Yeah.
Unbelievable. I give him his props, but you know, if that's your foundation, and we'll talk to Jesse, and you talked to him yesterday, the idea that Wilson Contreras now has got 1 foot out the door.
Yeah, you know, when Jesse said that to me yesterday, I was dumbfounded. I really did not see that coming. But, you know, we've got to trust that they know better than us. Right, Brian?
No.
right. No. And what Tom was saying, look, I get it. It's easy to freak out when you got a guy that's a Cy Young contender doing what happened last night. But you know what? Everybody's going to falter at some point. You're going to have a bad game. And
right.
On the other side, Alec Mills had a great game.
Okay, but here, they're 4 and 6 in the last 10, all right?
Right.
Now, still, again, 10 games clear in the division. Don't worry about it. Run differential, unbelievable, 127. Still a losing record against winning clubs.
Yeah.
22-26. By the way, Cleveland has 22 wins against teams with over 500 records. I know
a great point. Yeah.
A lot of people are not, you know, big on that, but guess which teams are in the postseason? Teams with
only the good
records.
Ones. Yeah. Only the good ones, Brian.
So and Rick Hahn addressed the stretch they're in and the grind they've gone through, and this is game 16 with no days off. But we've seen, Mark, you brought up the inconsistencies, guys like Lance Lynn joining the crowd now.
Yeah.
Rick Hahn, the general manager, you know, even keel, keeping it in perspective. Let's take a listen.
Look, it's been a excellent group effort in along two main avenues, I would say. One, keeping the focus on doing everything in their power to win tonight's game. given the personnel that was available to him. It's been a challenge at times from a health standpoint, whether it's guys, you know, obviously on the IL and unavailable, or just dealing with day-to-day issues that need to be maintained. Tony and the staff have done an excellent job still making do and doing everything in their power to win that night's game, even though they may be a little undermanned on a given occasion. The second thing is that, you know, Tony had a meeting at the start of this stretch, once we got back from Field of Dreams, with the group, talking about how this was an important, almost dry run for the postseason in terms of focus, that it's difficult, it being August and the time of year and the schedule that lay ahead of us. But at the same time, this was an opportunity to measure up against some of the more difficult opponents in our league, and the focus and preparation needed to rise to the occasion. And I think, you know, those two things considered, the team did a very good job responding.
Well, you know, ahead of the Crosstown Classic, 7-7 through that stretch is not good enough to win you a playoff series. So, and that was against the Blue Jays and the Tampa Rays. So, we've got some major improvements to make. And last night, how to explain? Obviously, Cubs do not have a winning record. And this is something that all year the Sox have been beating up on teams that don't have winning records. So last night was just really strange as far as what we saw from the White Sox. But again, Alec Mills, you know, he did good. I feel good for Cubs fans because they could at least take yesterday and celebrate for just a little moment in an otherwise rough year, Brian.
Yeah, and a lot of Twitter response to our Twitter poll. If the playoffs started today, how far do you believe the White Sox would go? World Series, ALCS, or early out? And a lot of people weighing in, and you can get at Mark, at Xander Rocker, 1R.
Yeah, yeah, 1R, all one word. Yep.
Yeah, and you can find me at Brian Hanley 534. And so also a Twitter poll. If how desperate are you to want to see Justin Fields? The question is, would you want to see Andy Dalton fail in order to see Justin Fields start? So you can weigh in on that at ESPN 1000 as well. Kyle Wynn responding to the White Sox question. They can't seem to score runs consistently. Doesn't seem like a good formula for success. If they score, they score a ton, but it's a big if sometimes. This team always seems to play up on the big stage, and the games are pretty much meaningless right now, so it's hard to gauge. And the opinions, Mark, kind of range all over. Some people are just saying, don't worry, they'll be fine in the playoffs. They're getting healthy. Other people are like, no, I'm a little bit worried about what's going on.
Well, it's easy to be worried because we're taking it game by game. And when you see something like yesterday, and let's face it, the day before, you know, with Keuchel giving up 6 runs, but then we saw the offense rebound, but then we saw the Cubs come back into it. You know, it's certainly making it interesting, probably more interesting than we need to make it on the South side. We're going to talk to John in Evanston about Sox pitching. Good morning, John.
Hey, guys. First of all, about Fields, let's just say I want to see that offensive line get fixed before they even think about starting the rookie. As far as the Sox go, you know, it's a 10-game lead. The guys know they've pretty much clinched it. They're in more of a relaxed mode right now. I would like to think if they were in the East, which is anything but clinched, they would be playing much more. They would be playing much, much, much more competitively than they are now.
John, like, can we afford for them to kind of lay back? I mean, you have to get into a mindset for the playoffs.
Well, you know what? I would say try to keep them as competitive as you can, you know, because of the situation they're in. But I would say within the last 10 to 12 games of the season, use the same lineup every day like you would in the playoffs and get them into a playoff-type mental mode at that point. Mm-hmm. And see how they do if they, you know, let's say they're down the stretch drive and they're getting ready to start the playoffs. Let's see where this club is at that point. But for now, I mean, you're playing guys you wouldn't normally play. You're trying to give everybody a break. You're looking at your pitching situation. I would say like I said, the last 10 games of the regular season, use the starting lineup you'd use in the playoffs, and let's see what we can do.
Yeah, but, you know, it's sure it's making us uneasy. And I get what you're saying, but, boy, what we saw last night is just not going to work. And that's not an indication of what we're going to see in the playoffs, but it certainly is one of those situations where we take it a game-by-game basis, and right now it's not looking good for the Sox.
Okay, but if Rick Hahn said that Tony La Russa had that meeting after Field of Dreams, right, that this is a simulated playoff stretch, that you bring the focus because it's a grind and all that. You responded with 4-6, okay?
That's not good enough.
Yeah. I know, Steve Greenberg, our buddy in the Sun-Times, even during the Tampa series, like, hey, could you try to have the mindset that Tampa still seems to have? They're 9-1 their last 10, and it looks like they haven't taken a little pause, and, they're up 5 games on the Yankees, who, by the way, since that Field of Dreams game are 9-1. I mean,
they're lights up. They're really scary coming out of the East.
Right. I mean, so if the manager has a meeting and says, okay, guys, let's go get them this stretch. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a mental grind and a physical grind and everything else. And this is the result you got. Now, not awful. It's not 1-9. It's 4-6. But it's 1-1 against the Cubs, and you had to come back from probably a 2% win probability to win 17-13 Friday night. I'd love to hear from Sox fans like John, where your confidence level is right now. It's, wake me up when October rolls around because everything's going to be fine. Or you think, wait a minute, this team's good enough to win the AL Central, no doubt, but I want to get to the World Series. I want to win a World Series. Is that the team you're watching right now?
Yeah. Well, look, we think we've got what it takes to get to the World Series. And what we're seeing now after that meeting, you've got a great point. It's just not good enough. And it'll be interesting to see how we progress, because everybody needs to find their level, right? I mean, we need to find how Kimbrel and Hendricks are going to work out and how they're going to work that dynamic out, because we need them. One of the callers said to Perez, probably been the best reliever. And look at Lopez. Tapera and Lopez should be used more because they're really pitching very well right now. So I think Tony has to figure out how to get everybody the time. Kopech, you can't sit Kopech because he had a bad outing, because you're not going to get him back into a rhythm to get back to where he needs to be. So you have to put them in there. You have to give them shots. And everybody just has to find their groove again. And it's, time is running out. We've got a month left.
Yeah, DHS1992 on Twitter said, matchups in the AL look really tough to predict, in my opinion. Right now, I'd say early out, but may look different in a month. And no doubt it may look different in a month. And I would argue it would have to look different in a month if you really do believe this is a World Series team that can have a chance to win everything.
Right. And the Keuchel issue is really an interesting one. I guess his next start is really going to be telling, right? If he even gets start. I would imagine he does.
Mark, let me ask you this. I mean, he's got a 5 ERA, the recent ERA north of 6. I don't know, how many starts. The Jake Arrieta IL stint coming soon? I mean,
we did make that point. Is this a Jake Arrieta situation on the south side?
I don't know there are enough starts for him. I mean, he is who he is this year. I don't know that changes in the next month. And if it doesn't, and he doesn't make the playoff roster, can you really bring him back next year and pretend that this was just some sort of season-long blip? And I know what you owe him, but I mean, interesting future for Dallas Keuchel. I think he's got 1 year left on the 3-year deal, right?
Yep. And I'm not sure. At this point, we don't know he's going to make that playoff roster. And, if we go down to a 4-man rotation, certainly he won't be part of that.
He might go to a 3-man rotation. Look, if he doesn't make the playoff roster, then I think you want to get Kopech in as a starter next year. I think Dallas Keuchel is wearing a different uniform next year.
Yeah, quite possibly. We are going to come back and dive more into the Crosstown Classic game number 3 today. It's the rubber match on the south side, 1:10 first pitch. We'll have your pregame at 12:30 following us here on ESPN 1000. And we'll take your calls on Justin Fields, 312-332-3776. We have a few polls, and we'll eventually get to the rock poll, as we like to do on a Sunday morning here. ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Instagram at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Yeah, we're talking Bears this morning on ESPN 1000. Brian Hanley, Mark Zander. We also are talking about the White Sox and Cubs Crosstown Classic Game 3 today. Now, before the break, we had asked to hear from you Sox fans. Are you worried about the Sox, given what we saw last night and even the night before and the road trip that included games against the Tampa Rays and the Blue Jays? Earl on the South Side, good morning to you.
Good morning.
So
hey,
you're worried?
How are you guys this morning?
We're good. We're good. So
hey,
you're worried,
how are you guys
Earl?
This morning?
We're good.
Yeah, I'm heading home, man. I had to grab my phone real quick and stop. Look.
Okay. So are you worried about the White Sox, Earl?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
Remember back in 05?
You certainly do.
The White Sox could not win a game in the second half. Cleveland was on our tails.
The last 2 weeks, last 3 weeks, 13, what did they, they came within one game, didn't they?
Of getting us.
Yeah.
We couldn't win a game unless Contreras pitched.
That's Burley, right.
Anybody. We couldn't win a game. So these things happened in a long season, 162 games plus the playoffs. Mm-hmm. These White Sox going to be all right because they can hit.
But they do have
starting pitching, yes.
That 05 team, look at that rotation, what they did as a group historically, right? I mean,
yes.
Does this rotation compare to guys you can give the ball to, like that group that Ozzie could give the ball to? And by the way, they went through three closers that year, right? Till they got to the big man. Yeah.
To Bobby, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's pretty much the same. You know, you're going
history
to develop that trust
itself,
when that playoffs start. When that playoffs start, that trust's going to be there. Tony is looking at what he's working with. The Sox are ready for the playoffs. They can hit. They got pitching. They're going to close. I believe that Kimbrel need to be the closer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you there. And I think Hendricks has to figure out where he fits in. And he said all the right things, right? He said things like, look, I will pitch in the second inning if you need me to. I'm a gamer. Just tell me what you need me to do. He's got to figure that out. But I think Kimbrel is our lights out guy.
Steve Kimbrel, you have to, because this guy, Liam, you can pitch him anywhere. It don't care. He's jacked up. He's good to go no matter what.
He's a
slim Bobby Jinks. We got him. We can use him. So don't worry about the Sox. Don't stop believing in the Sox, fans.
Okay.
We can lose the next 10 games. Don't worry about it. Remember, 05, don't stop believing.
Yeah, blow the dust off the journey song. There we go.
Yeah, that was perfect, Earl. Yeah, thank you, Earl.
Don't be a stranger, Earl.
That was great. I feel better now. I totally feel better. I think Earl has straightened my head out.
Is that all it took?
Yeah, well, maybe not, but at least for the moment, Brian. At least for the moment. I mean, he brought up some good points, right? You know, it is a long season, and look what happened in 05.
This starting rotation is not the 05 rotation. I mean, go back and look at the number of wins your starters got and how deep in games they went.
I know. It's a different story in that respect, for sure.
Yeah, and by the way, it's a different era because now what's the likelihood it's home run or nothing, right? I mean
– yep.
Now, Grandal comes back in his first game, and it's 2 3-run home runs, right? 8 RBI. Welcome back, you know?
Yeah, we needed him. We just, you know, that 17-13 game was really, really wild. We've got Dylan Cease on the mound today for the White Sox. Who's starting for the Cubs? Do we have it in front of us?
Hendricks
Do we have
today.
That, Brian? Oh, Hendricks, okay. That's going to be a nice matchup. We Jesse and I had a nice little session with Dylan yesterday. He joined us on the show for Ask Dylan Anything. He was a great sport. But boy, I'll tell you, he is going to be one of our top pitchers in the next year or so. His stuff, Lance Lynn has come out and said his stuff is the nastiest on the staff.
Well,
he just has to find a consistency.
Yeah, I said when the trade was made, he was the throw-in, right? You can't coach 100 plus mile an hour. So, and that's what he had. And now he's harnessed it and learned how to use it and looks like he's more than a keeper moving forward. So that trade is going to go down as a Cubs fan, top three disastrous moves made by Theo and Jed. That's in the team picture. I mean, you know, Ian Stewart was another one. But that one where you give your crosstown rivals two guys for a guy who didn't do much of anything here, and when he wasn't hurt, he was just mediocre, and he's no longer here. That one is that's going to stick for a while.
Certainly it has. But in that moment, Brian, being a Cubs fan, in that moment, did you have hope that that was the right move, or did you know right off the bat that that was a bad move?
I didn't know it was bad. I just thought it was too much for Contreras.
Too much. Okay. Yeah. Well, and certainly it was. But in that moment, you even thought it was too much.
One of our Twitter guys said, "Well, hey, Cody Hoyer got Eloy Jimenez out, so Cubs win that trade."
Yeah, right.
Have you guys seen the odds for today?
Oh, I would guess no.
Dylan
Cease favorite.
Dylan Cease is the favorite. He's a heavy favorite too.
Really?
Listen to this, all right? And for anyone who likes value,
Tyler
Rocky
joining us, show our great producer, by the way.
The odds for today: the Sox are -255 on DraftKings. So that means you're getting Kyle Hendricks at +205.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I think the Cubs are going to win by any stretch, but you don't often get Kyle Hendricks with a two in front of his odds.
No. And for comparison and contrast sake, Friday night, Sox were -300, were they? I mean, was that about right?
Probably something absurd, yeah.
Yeah,
and they were probably
absurd.
Something in the neighborhood of -200 last night, too.
Oh, and you know what? It might have been last night because it was Lynn and not Dallas Keuchel.
Right. Yeah. That would have been last.
Even if you took the Cubs with the runs, give them the +1.5, you're still getting plus odds there at +105.
Well, here's the bet. I wonder, do you take a 5-inning bet? Because Kyle's, hopefully going to stick around for 5 innings. And so you take the value because Kyle's getting that 2 in front of the number, and you're not sure what the bullpen's going to give you, although, not so bad yesterday. That's interesting. And they're almost begging you to take Kyle Hendricks.
Yeah,
aren't they?
Cubs
they
in the first five are +185 today.
Yeah, I don't know. And when it looks too good to be true, it's like the Bears over-under and wins in Vegas, 7.5. Yeah, everyone's like, well, of course they're going to be better than that. The defense is great. I'm not sure. But, they're begging you to go over when I think the smart money, I guess someone tweeted at us, the most money coming in Vegas is on the under on the Bears. And that was before they probably saw the last couple games.
Yeah.
Are they an 8-win team or a 12-win team?
Yeah. I don't know.
And a 17-game season at 7.5.
Yeah.
That's discouraging.
Just a little bit. Yeah. The line tonight is amazing. But Dylan does good against he has done good against the Cubs. So I don't know. Maybe. But that's still not a bad bet to take.
Yeah, I think I will just sit and watch that one. That one just looks too.
You're gonna keep your money in your pocket and just watch.
At least on that game, Mark.
Yeah.
It's tough to do. There are a lot of other games you can.
Yeah, no. I understand. But at least for that game. All right, we're going to come back and talk about something that happened this past week in the world of rock and roll. And we've got a rock poll up at ESPN 1000. It's Hanley and Xander here, ESPN 1000 on a Sunday morning. We'll be back with the rock poll and more talk about the Crosstown Classic and your Chicago Bears here on ESPN 1000.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000.
All right, we're talking Crosstown Classic. We're talking Justin Fields and the Bears. And we've got to bring up something that happened this past week. Perfect lead-in. Brian Hanley, Mark Zander, we just heard the Stones there. Brian, we lost Charlie Watts, drummer of the band, the Rolling Stones, been there since the beginning. We lost him at 80 years old. I know you must be a Stones fan, being a classic rock guy.
Absolutely. And when the news came out that he was not going to be on tour, I had no idea. It was he beat throat cancer once. We still don't know exactly what he passed from. But
well, he did have a procedure which precipitated him staying back from the tour that's going to be, a limited date tour this fall, and the No Filter tour. And he did release a statement through his spokesperson, basically paraphrasing here, that you know, look, my recovery is going to take a little longer. I don't want to hold the fans off, right, especially after the pandemic. So the show's going to go on. Steve Jordan's going to fill in on drums. And that's what we heard. We never really knew how serious it was.
Exactly. Obviously, that's why the news was startling, yeah, even at 80.
Yeah, it was.
In 80, you know, young these days. I mean, when you're, that's a hard 80 for a lot of rock and rollers. But Charlie's married for the same woman for 46 years. By all counts, the glue that kept that group together when Keith and Mick were not seeing eye to eye, which probably the last 46 years.
Yeah. All the Glimmer twins.
Yeah. And you have a great rock poll question at ESPN 1000 Day, Mark.
Yeah. We're asking you, and one of the choices are really a throw-in. I don't think anybody would vote on the 90s or beyond. But we're asking you, as far as where your sensibilities lie for the Rolling Stones, what was their best decade? The 60s, the 70s, the 80s, or 90s and beyond? And look, they were active 90s and beyond. They released Voodoo Lounge in the 90s. They've been active, you know, ever since the beginning in the early 60s. So for your money, what was the best decade? I'm going to be the guy who splits it up a little bit. I actually have a certain year span, Brian. I say 69 through 81 was the sweet spot for me and the Rolling Stones.
You know, I love their music all through that. As a teenager, going into my college years, In the late 70s, early 80s, I'm embarrassed to say I did not see them live, not even in the 90s,
really,
in the 2000s, at Sox Park, of all places.
Wait a minute, you know, you and I might have been at the same show. The Pretenders.
It was the only time they were
show.
There, right? I mean, did they do two shows? They did, because I read the reviews. I'm like, I got to go. I mean, they were always on the list. And look, when I was a sports writer, I was traveling all the time. I mostly would catch shows on the road. I mean, I saw Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young at the old Reunion Arena in Dallas on an off day during a Stanley Cup playoff series. And Young didn't play a lot. Neil Young didn't play a lot with the group at the time. So I'm like, I got to get over there.
Yeah, that's a once-in-a-lifetime deal.
I mean, I was traveling, and you know, it was a Marv Albert's book. The title of his book was I'd Love To, But I Have a Game. I mean, no truer words spoken if you were a broadcaster or a beat guy, because you don't really get off days or off nights. And there eventually became no off season because you have free agency and trades and contract squabbles and people getting fired, you know. So, I didn't get to see them live. And you know what? They still entertained the hell out of me at that show.
You know? I'll tell you, it was 2003. It was the U.S. Cellular at the time.
Yep.
And the Pretenders opened. I was at that show, too.
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly.
The set list was exquisite. They did Undercover of the Night, which is an 80s song that they didn't do much, but it was a great song. It was a great set list. If you go back and look, it was amazing. It was a great show to be at. So you and I were at the same show.
God bless.
But I've got to say 69 through 81 was, for me, the sweet spot. And for me, the song Gimme Shelter is one of the greatest songs ever put to tape in the history of recorded music.
Don't disagree. I mean, don't disagree. There's another Twitter poll out there from someone I follow. It's like, what song's a 10 out of 10 and that most people don't even know? And I had a thought on that, too. But, you know, that set list, if that was the one show I was going to see as the Stones, and it was, I'm so glad I did, right? I mean, and I know, you know, one of my brothers saw him 1,000 times. And, you know, because I don't know how many times he saw him in New Orleans, he went to school there. So it's just, you have to see him at least once, and I'm glad I did.
Yeah, I've got the set list in front of me. That date was September 13th of 02, not 03.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And they actually did. They covered. I forgot about this. They covered the OJ's Love Train, which was great. But yeah, they did Start Me Up, Brown Sugar, Honky Tonk, Undercover the Night, Angie, You Can't Always Get What You Want.
Wow.
And Gimme Shelter, Tumbling Dice, Street Fighting Man, and Jumpin' Jack Flash were the first on. The encore was Midnight Rambler, which was one of my favorite. And then I Can't Get No Satisfaction. That was a great, great show. I'm glad we both had the chance to see them. I only saw them once, and that was the show. Had a lot of other near misses. But they're going to go out on this no filter tour, Brian, because they already had a plan. I'm sure Charlie would have wanted it that way. But what happens after this? It'll be interesting. Keith Richards has been quoted as saying, Charlie is the glue.
Yep.
When he's not around, we're done. I don't know about that, but we'll see. I mean, certainly he was. He was, and so many drummers came out this week saying he was the ultimate timekeeper. Never flashy, but just a skillful jazz drummer as well. He loved to play
jazz. You know how much drummers actually drive a band, whether it's Stones or not, right? Mighty Max Weinberg with Bruce. If that guy, you don't get that guy right, you're starting way behind.
That's the foundation. That's the foundation. You have the bass guitar that lays the foundation for everything going forward. So if you want to jump in on this Twitter poll at ESPN 1000, again, lost Charlie Watts at the age of 80 this past week. Original member of the Stones. So what was their best decade, 60s, 70s, 80s, or 90s and beyond? And we'll recap at the end of the show. We are going to take more phone calls on what happened on the Crosstown Classic last night, even the first game, what we can expect today. Are we worried about the White Sox? If you want to chime in about what you're seeing from the Cubs, if there are any bright spots, if you're seeing through all of this and you're saying, you know what, this may be somebody. We're going to end up talking to Jesse Rogers at 11 a.m. We'll get Patrick Finley in here at 10:30. He wrote a great column in the Sun-Times today about that one play from Justin Fields. That was exciting to see, wasn't it, Brian?
It was exciting to see. And like I said, it got you out of your seat in an otherwise mundane. And we'll go over the preseason stats for both Dalton and Fields in one of our Twitter poll questions. If it meant Andy Dalton failing to see Justin Fields sooner than later, would you be okay with that? And we've got a lot of responses to that.
Yeah, I can't wait to see that.
ESPN 1000, yeah.
Yeah, how that shakes out. We're back in 2 minutes with Hanley and Xander.